Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I mean, I was on the internet just scouring lists of people's favorite three chord songs.
Hey there, peoples. It's Jim Lenihan here on Rockin' the Suburbs. Patrick Foster is off today, but I have with us very special guests all the way from Indiana. We have Hans and Brittany from Frank Muffin. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
How are you all?
We're doing great.
Too shabby. Glad to be here. Nice to see you or hear you, depending on what medium people are consuming this.
That's right. We haven't talked in a little while. I'm just so thrilled. I don't know if this gets expressed in us, but I'm just so thrilled that you are such an active part of our Rock in the Suburbs community, because not only is it great to have your musical talents part of all the fests that we do and various other silly things we do with this podcast and this group, but also just you're great people and you're fun to be with.
Oh,
shucks.
Well, I'm glad you're not sick of us yet. Every fest, I'm just like, this is the one they don't invite us to.
Yeah, you are.
No, truly, this community is just one of the greatest highlights of the last, coming up on like 6 years.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic. And the support that the whole community has given to us, yes, with our music, that's part of it. But just as becoming dear, dear friends, it just means the world.
That's great. That's wonderful. No, you guys really are just a big help, not only, of course, you know, playing at the various Suburbs Fest, but also just the help you give us in terms of your recording knowledge and your music knowledge and all sorts of things like that. I don't know how we'd pull this off without you. So maybe we're the ones who should be
worried. If you want help, just ask somebody from the Midwest.
Yeah.
We're too foolish to say no.
The Midwest syndrome of can somebody help and how high?
You know? There you go. Okay, so for people who are not familiar, and you should be familiar with this, we hold an annual Suburbs Fest for listeners of the podcast and music fans in general. Anyone who wants to come, it's open to all. This year, we're going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee, July 30th through August 1st. The details are at suburbspod.com/fest. We will have four events over the course of 3 days. And lots of great music and lots of cool people. I think this, from what I'm gathering, I think this is going to be our best attended one yet. There's a lot of excitement.
All right.
A lot of people coming to Knoxville, so it's going to be a cool time. And the thing that I wanted to talk with you guys about today is, in addition to always playing original music at Suburbs Fest, and people who are not familiar with Frank Muffin's original music, go check that out on the streamings. Just look for Frank Muffin. You can hear dozens upon dozens of original songs. But also, you guys came up with this idea somewhere along the line a few years ago to do this live band karaoke. And that has become a fan favorite event at Suburbs Fest now. And I thought maybe we could just talk about that a little bit, you know, sort of go under the hood on how this all works. So
yeah.
I guess the first question is, where did this idea come from?
I thought it should have been worded, what were you thinking?
So I think the idea came a bit organically. At the first couple of fests, we had a lot of people wanting to sing, and not everybody in the community is musicians, or maybe they're not as confident in their guitar playing as they just want to get up and sing and rock out. And some people absolutely have loads of talent, but they might not have the full band with them. And so this sort of, like, after the first couple of fests, I think there were little moments and opportunities where we just kept getting asked by a lot of people to back them up. And we're happy to do that. You know, we'd have a few folks say, hey, here's two songs I'd like to do. Any chance you guys could work them up? And sometimes it might just be Hans and myself playing together. Sometimes we'd be able to get Joe in the early years and Brad more recently, you know, behind the kit. And so I think it just kind of was like, why don't we make this an actual official part of what we offer and what we can do? So I think it kind of grew from those little mini invitations.
And a little bit of the organically of how things happen too is like under the hood, so to speak, is that ages ago, Jerome, you know, like mentioned, Jerome, our old guitar player, lovely man, he, his mom had a medical thing, and we decided to do a fundraiser, and she's doing great, just in case, don't anybody be on the edge of the seat there. But we did a fundraiser for some medical expenses, and we're like, let's just try to do this karaoke thing. But it was more like, we'll play any song in this list for this price, and if you want to sing it with us, it's double. And it was really, a lot of people loved it. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And we're like, I wonder if we could do a karaoke thing. And we asked around. No bars really were that interested. We just kind of forgot about it. And then when we were doing some of the tribute shows we had done for charity, we did The Last Waltz. And we built these teleprompters to make it easier for the band and guest musicians, because we had a lot of guest musicians for that, to just come up and like, yeah, here's your words, here's some thing. So we already had some of these things just laying around. And like, so I think it was Arlington Heights was maybe the first time. It's just like, Jim, how do you feel about this dumb idea?
Well, so it's funny. And let me back up for a minute here. The first couple of fests that we did in DC, we had basically what was essentially like an open mic night. And that kind of came out of how we met you guys. Cause during the pandemic lockdown, we were doing the Friday night Zoom sessions, the Friday night hootenannies where people would play. So it was sort of natural to be like, okay, well, Suburbs Fest, when everybody gets together for real, we'll do it. You know, we'll let anybody go up on stage and play. But then, like you said, basically to repeat what you said, but there were people who wanted to participate and maybe, you know, didn't feel confident in that. And so that's where we got to this. And what I will say is that the live band karaoke has become, with Frank Muffin, has become such a big deal that it's kind of eclipsed the whole open mic thing. This is really the night now. And I think that really works out, because now it's like, even people who are, you know, talented musicians kind of feel like, and I don't have the pressure to, like, you know, work up the songs anymore. There's a band that does that.
Yeah, true.
You know, so there you go. But this year for Fest, we are going to have both. This is the first time.
Yes.
I guess technically the second time, because last year in Grand Rapids, we had the Fire Pit Night. But we're going to have the Hootenanny on Thursday, and then the live band karaoke on Friday. So anyway, the teleprompter. Now I'm up to that. Now I'm caught up here. That was the key, right? I mean, that's the key to make this thing work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're fully DIY over here. I mean, there are, you know, when you've got DJs and people that are pressing play on a keyboard, the words move for them. And we were trying to figure out how to do that, because when we're playing live, we're not triggering cues.
Right.
We're not triggering a bouncy ball to sync exactly in tempo with what we're doing. So we're hoping that there's a level of people having familiarity with the song enough to move through it. But we don't expect people to memorize or any of that stuff. So the teleprompter concept was like really critical to at least supplying a minimum level for people to sing along. And it has evolved over the years. And I don't know how much you want to get into the weeds of how we did it, but they are relatively cheap TVs that we just picked up from Best Buy.
Yeah.
And we just designed and measured some boxes built out of MDF board, and cut to shape and size so that we could, you know, put holes in the sides so cables can run in and out so we can plug into power. And then we synced up a small Mac mini computer that we can run just kind of a slide software on for, and a foot pedal to control jumping between the songs. I can use my iPad synced with that to select which song is next. So we can immediately jump to it, and it's all, even if we have multiple screens, we're connected with a HDMI splitter, so it's all running in sync.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by any of these companies, however.
And they're not for sale.
We'd like to be Insignia.
No, don't.
No, go ahead.
It's fun to find those little ways to elevate just beyond a binder and some paper, which would have been sufficient. But for us, it's like, I think people get more in the moment when they're not feeling strapped to this music stand that's in front of them, or holding their phone up in front of their face right while they're singing. They can kind of let loose. If they know it, they don't need to look down. If they do need to look down, it's right there in front of them. And this past year, we actually upgraded to a horizontal format. The original version was like one song on one full sheet or screen, and you just kind of go through the verses.
And some people were getting lost or having a hard time reading it.
Yeah, because there was a technical glitch that resulted in the font sizes being even smaller than intended
that
one
was
year.
Also not great.
And I felt horrible at that tech issue, being kind of like, oh no, I forgot to do this really important thing. We're in the middle of the event. I can't change it now. And I felt like I really, failed on getting some of those people through with the support we were trying to have available. So last year, leading up to the fest, I spent an exorbitant amount of man hours document editing every single song into a multi-page, like, size 42 font, listening through every single song we had available.
Yeah.
Throwing in a slide to say, intro. And if it was anything significant of a length of an intro, I would say like 28 bars intro, just to give the, I don't know who knows and counts music, right, but I figure most people can follow, this is quick, I'm coming right in, or 28 measures, I'll kind of look around and look at Hans and Brittany and say, okay, we come, is this where I start? And then they can jump in. Similar for solos. And so what started as basically one song per sheet in separate Word documents went through, I'm guessing, some hundreds of hours of me in Microsoft Word.
Yes.
Reformatting
Microsoft.
every single song into horizontal, and then, removing our cues where we have chords written in on our cheat sheet versions of it.
Right,
because
the singer doesn't really
doesn't care if it's a G over F sharp, whatever it is. So that's a little bit of the under the hood things that I hope are going to continue to be less work year over year, but it was worth doing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And we've also learned, some songs we thought were going to be great, we're keep adding new songs, people are going to want to do that, and then you find out nobody's picking a lot of these songs because people just want the core things that they're familiar with from normal karaoke world, so it's just,
right,
it's made it easier to where we're like, okay, we're not going to add 20 songs every year. We've already got over 100. We can maybe only do 80 this year, but we've got this group, so it's a little bit easier to deal with.
Okay, this is perfect. I want to get into the songs because, again, for people who are not familiar, they might be thinking, because I introduced you as, playing original music, the karaoke is all covers. Let's make that clear.
Yes.
Not going up and singing Frank Muffin songs. That's for Frank
Muffin
to do.
But
yes.
I mean, Scott
we
Parks
did, that once.
Did once in Arlington. He did one of our songs, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
But yes, that would.
So you,
we don't even rehearse our own songs that much. So if somebody pulled one out of the archive, we might be screwed.
Okay. So coming in, people get a list of well-known songs, a real variety, I think, of styles of music, and the list has somewhere between like 80 and 100 songs.
Yeah,
I think last year it was 104, maybe last year.
Wow.
Somewhere around there.
I think we're going to slip a couple new ones in because we have played a couple of events where we did a couple of covers. I'm like, oh, that might be good for karaoke, so we might slip a couple of new ones in, but it's not 100 new songs every year. That'd be insane.
No, like you said, you sort of learn what works. And I know from having been to all of these and emceeing it that people tend to pick the same songs. I don't mean the same people do, but there's certain songs that get picked every year. And in fact, there's some that are so popular that I have to, as people are trying to submit them, I'm like, already picked. That's gone. So, but anyway, What are some of your favorites that from this experience?
I mean, they're more favorite performances than just the songs themselves, I think. I mean, I've enjoyed playing some of these, like AC/DC's a blast. I think we did that with Dr. Bob, which was great. Dr. Bob doing Iron Maiden has been great. I think the surprise is probably Louisville. And are you thinking the same one that I'm thinking maybe?
Keep talking. Okay. There's so many things running through my head.
I can't remember. It was the Fleetwood Mac song that that local woman did and was so good. And then she also did...
She did Whole Lot of Love.
Whole Lot of Love, which was even better. It was like, it was insane. It's just like, nobody knows this person.
Right.
And she is crushing it.
Yeah.
And that was so much fun.
Yeah. I love our group so much. And the list is catered a little bit tilted toward the tastes and preferences that at least we think we're familiar with the Suburbs Fest fan club group. But it we absolutely try to make sure that there are a few other like more popular typical type of karaoke songs that are included on the list. Some newer songs. We had a few locals in Grand Rapids last year jump in.
Yeah,
a group of gals who came up and did a few songs each. And so we got to do Chapel Roan. And we got to do, I don't remember all the others. But it was, it's really, I think some of my favorite moments have been seeing the marriage between our group of people who we bring out to these events. And that's the draw. But what locals feel so welcomed by us that they choose to jump in. That's a really cool part of it for me also.
And you're always going to have those nights, or at least one song each night, I should say, that people only know the chorus and they think they know the whole song. And you see a blank stare until like you kind of start singing with them and then they come in on the chorus and then it's a blank stare again.
Are you possibly referring to Billy in Louisville and or Country Roads last year in Grand Rapids?
but there, those are so fun. I love those
so
moments too.
So fun.
It's fun though. But you know, Hans, you tend to jump in and help out in situations like that. So
I try.
It's a you know, it's a safe space, right?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. We're a live band. I mean, to a point, we're going to keep plugging through the song. But if we realize somebody just, you know, missed a cue, we'll start at the beginning of the verse again. Like if we can, you know, keep together and because we can look at each other and we can adapt on the fly. And, that,
and that's the
that
beauty
is
of not doing
of
it
the,
to tracks and to the, yeah, the standard.
That is one of the advantages
we'll
of
bring
it
you
being
back.
Live. Yep.
How do you learn all these songs?
Well,
it's debatable.
To be quite clear. One of our parameters a few years ago when we tried to kind of like really vamp and lock in this set was what are some of the easiest songs that are out there that are popular enough? And so, I mean, I was on the internet just scouring lists of people's favorite three chord songs.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that we won't tackle things that are more complex, but there's a point where what we're doing for that purpose and event is not where we could possibly spend every ounce of our creative energy. So we start with how can we get a good solid chunk of fun songs that are pretty easy to throw together. Because by the time we've collected that list, we probably as a band individually or together have played all of those songs at some point.
Yeah.
So rehearsing to tighten that up is, it's pretty low key year after year. And then we can start diving into, okay, but what are some other songs that people really want to sing? What are ones we've done before that people just love? And then our rehearsals leading up to the fest can be focused more on the original music and just kind of spot checking this karaoke list to make sure we're not going to muck it up. And we have sometimes totally royally screwed up on a few songs during our performance because we didn't realize that we didn't know it as well as we thought we did. So that's a risk all around.
Well, by that time, everybody's had several drinks and we're all...
It's okay.
All it's all fine.
Yep.
It's rock and roll, right? It's, they used to say, close enough for rock and roll. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there ever songs that you rehearse and get all worked up and everything, and then you're disappointed because nobody picks it?
I really was until just last year. And I am going to give a huge shout out to our dear friend, Eric Didrikson. We were in Rockville the year before And this question actually came up.
Rockford? Was it Rockford?
I said it wrong. I apologize.
Rockford, yep.
We were in Rockford. We were in Rockford 2 years ago. We were chatting. I don't remember the bar that we were all hanging out afterwards, but it was just one of the after hangs that a bunch of us were just having a final drink or two before, you know, walking back to the hotel. And somebody asked me this same question. And yeah, I was so bummed that nobody over the first like 3 years we'd done this had ever picked Rancid's song Time Bomb.
Hmm.
And I think that song is fun as all get out. And the bass part is pretty intense. So the fact that it wasn't on the easiest collection of the songs on the list, but we had so much fun playing it that I'd spent time really making sure that I could play it quickly and cleanly enough. And nobody ever picked it. And then Eric, bless his heart, he's like, I love that album. And we didn't talk about it again. And sure enough, last year, he selected it. So my dream came true. Eric made all of my dreams come true.
I remember this, and he crushed it, too.
He absolutely did. And I'm gonna pretend that I did as well. We had a ball. So if there's probably a few others on the list that I might kind of hope somebody does again. But that was definitely the first one that came to mind. Well, do you have any, Hans?
Nothing off the top of my head. And I'm sure if I looked at the list, nothing came into my head.
Okay, so what I don't want to get into here today is whether there will be any new songs. Or I guess, no, let me take that back. Will there be new songs on the live band karaoke list? But I don't want you to reveal what they are. But just will there be new ones this year?
I will say that it is we haven't fully locked in the list for this year yet. So there aren't currently new songs because we are actually starting that process heavily this upcoming week.
Okay.
With our bandmates and discussing what we do and don't want to keep from previous years. I think it is extremely likely there will be new stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would also say that, you know, we do want to be open to maybe some suggestions or ideas from the community. I don't want that to be misconstrued for we're taking requests.
Right.
Because it does depend on can we pull it together in the time frame we have, kind of thing. But yeah, in years past, I've often fielded a handful of Facebook messages from people in the community, and I want to encourage and invite anybody, feel free to do so, just to say, hey, I thought people might like doing these couple of songs, and okay, well, maybe one of them will make the list. I don't know. So.
And what it usually would be is somebody a week before, hey, can you do this song? No, but maybe next year.
There you go.
Yeah, we're not going to be riding up the week before the event and making changes at that point. No. We do kind of have a cutoff.
I'm sure there's going to be a couple. We like have to have a couple.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some new ones. I don't even know what they are yet.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. I like the surprise factor. So I like the idea of the list being revealed at the venue. Although I think last year, was there like a sneak peek of the list?
Yeah, we did. Honestly, I don't remember the exact method that we released it, but we did. We did do a sneak peek. For our own benefit, we kind of make a Spotify playlist for ourselves that we just have all these songs on so we can quick reference and listen and, you know, practice on our own. And just, you know, if I'm driving around, I'll have them playing in my car so I can just kind of be running through maybe some harmony parts that I need to play or remembering, oh, shoot, there's a bridge there I was going to forget about.
Oh, great. Achy, breaky heart again.
Right. we have that list that we kind of work with and from. And I think I might have shared that playlist out in advance last year just for the people who really needed that little level of security to feel comfortable jumping in. I agree with you about the level of surprise. I really like that a lot. I think there's was almost nothing more exciting than watching the everybody just like flock to the tables to grab and scan through the lists when we were in Louisville. I think everybody's like scrambling over these sheets so that they can look at the list and seeing what's on it. And that was really cool. And I also know that there were a couple of people the following year that reached out that said, I would love to do something, but I am so shy. I terrified that I won't be able to prepare and practice. And so to a few individual people, I had kind of given them a little preview, just say, I can't promise the song you pick won't be taken.
Right.
So if you want to practice something up, good for you, but somebody else might sign up for it before you get to it. That's why we're not doing those, like, typically the custom personalized requests like we'd started doing in the earlier years. But I don't know. I mean, as far as sharing it out this year, I'm open to that, but I agree with you about the element of surprise being a really fun side of it.
Yeah, that's what I love.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned about somebody having a song they wanted to do and then somebody else doing it. I mean, especially if you know who that person is, I encourage duets or things like that. You know, that I hate it. I saw some people, I think mainly it was Rockford for some reason, that people were bummed that they didn't get to their song. Oh, I was going to do that, but so-and-so did it. I'm like, well, now you're not doing anything. I feel really bad because you wanted to do it. So if you know that person, we've got extra mics. Come up.
Jump
sing,
up on
you know,
stage.
Extra mic.
That's right. That's right. I'll
Yeah, it's
I'll
a community.
Try to encourage that too. Like if a song has already been picked but has not yet been played and somebody wants to do it, then I, you know, could suggest, well, maybe you can go up with that person, do it together. That kind of thing.
Buy them a beer and ask if you can sing with them.
Yeah, as long as everybody's open to that, well, it certainly doesn't bother us.
But unfortunately, we do try to make it so that you guys only have to play a song once per night because there's so many songs.
Well,
we want to make
that.
Sure we get to other stuff too.
Right.
Okay, and then lastly... Well, no, I got two more questions. One is, are there any songs that you're sick of playing?
I think the songs that we might have been sick of or didn't like a lot, Hans has already alluded to the Achy Breaky Heart. I think we just kind of work those off the list quietly.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah,
it's been retired.
Now, I didn't... You know, there was a big joke we had that I think had started at the Arlington Heights year. With a very particular song that Keith Jacobson had requested to sing that then we revealed was really not one of my favorite songs. But I also feel like there's no way that song can't be on the list. Like it's become such this big, fun joke. And it's not as though he's performed it every year. He did it last year in Grand Rapids because he was, you know, with his buddies and, you know, other, you know, locals and people that he knew. So I feel like there's a few that are like, man, those have to stay on the list, even if they stop getting picked, just because they've become an iconic element.
They're sort of
what
inside jokes at this point, right?
Yeah.
So what song is that?
I don't know. Have we heard that one before? By Clarence somebody? I think they'll figure it out.
All right.
Keith can call
it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say along that same line, though, is I don't know if we've done it or not in these, but it's been on the list. But Freebird is the natural band joke, right? Everybody just yells Freebird and usually results in the band flipping the audience off. You know, here's your Freebird. But we did that actually at that fundraiser and raised over $600 to play it because that was just the thing. It's just like, if you want to hear Freebird, it's going to cost you. And it just kept going up and up and up.
People were pooling their money together for it, not a singular. So, yeah. And
by the same
token,
I'm willing to do that at any of the fests as well for a price. But actually, I think Brad and Pat would love to play it because they just tear that end up. But we had.
It's good for a lead guitarist, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we always like to throw in just one or two covers of our own, sometimes unexpectedly. Sometimes we plan that.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, my last question is this. Going back to the Louisville Fest, how great was Sabotage?
That was one of my favorites.
I agree.
Honestly, that song had been running through my head for probably months after the fest because of how stellar the energy in the whole room was with that performance. So
that
whoever had the guts to come up and do that with us, I've got to give them
all of
the props.
Yes.
Hats off. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Happy to discuss and share a few of the insider bits.
So we're so looking forward to this again. So the live band karaoke will be on Friday night. That is July 31st. And as I mentioned, the details are at suburbspod.com/fest. You can also just message Rock in the Suburbs, Suburbs Pod on Facebook or other social media if you have any questions or want to know more. And that's Friday night. That's the middle night of the overall fest. As I mentioned, Thursday night, we're going to have a hootenanny so people can come and bring instruments and play songs for each other or just hang out. You can just totally hang out and enjoy the music of others. And then Saturday, August 1st in the afternoon, we're going to do our live podcast recording with some local Knoxville musicians who are going to perform and sit for interviews. And then Saturday night, we will have three bands playing, including Frank Muffin.
Woo, that's us.
Playing original material, but also a Knoxville band, Court Jar, and also Maddie C., who is a friend of the pod, and he's going to play his original songs as well. So it's going to be a stellar night, Saturday night. So so there you go. So come on down to Knoxville for the fest. If you have been to a Suburbs Fest before, you know how epic it is. If you have not been to one before, well, then you just got to experience it for yourself. All right. It's time for you guys to practice up.
Yep. Yeah, we better get started.
Warming up right now.
We're so looking forward to it.
All right. Hans, Brittany, thanks very much. And where can people find more information about Frank Muffin?
Frankmuffin.com is our website. There should be news and updates on there. We haven't had a lot of performances lately, but we've been working on some other things and should have a lot of that information available.
Music's available on our website. On Bandcamp.
Music's available on Bandcamp, and that's really the best way to support artists, is coming out to shows, buying merch, buying stuff from Bandcamp. It's always much appreciated. And if you also want to consume music in a more convenient manner, absolutely, we're on the streaming platforms as well.
Cool. All right. Thanks, guys. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan, and we'll talk to you later. I just want to tell people to give you a little story of Brittany's bass skills here. Back when we were doing the Friday Night Hootenannies over Zoom, I remember maybe at the end of one, I said something like, because you guys would, you know, play on there a lot. And I would say, I think at the end of one, I said something like, can you guys learn the Magnificent Seven, the Clash Magnificent Seven?
Yeah.
Which has that really cool bass part. And literally like, I don't know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes after the thing ended, you sent me like a audio file of you playing that bass line. I was like, all right, we're going to have fun next week.